What is up, and welcome back to another episode of the Wizards Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Finberg, and in today's episode, Trae Young is a Washington Wizard. Didn't think I would be saying that ever. It was increasingly likely since Monday when you saw Mark Stein, you saw Shams start reporting the interest. You saw today that Trae Young's preferred destination was the Wizards. When's the last time you heard a four-time All-Star say, "I want to be in Washington"? But nonetheless, Trae Young is the newest Washington Wizards. In case you missed it, from Shams Charania, the Wizards acquire Trae Young in return for CJ McCollum and Corey Kispert. Straight up 1-for-2 deal. Thought there might be draft compensation going Washington's way. Some thought it might be going Atlanta's way. Turns out it's going no one's way. There's no draft compensation, confirmed by my good friend Troy Halliburton, who had the inside scoop there. It's just a straight up deal. And so, if you're the Wizards, you acquire a four-time All-Star who's still 27 years old, and you might try to rehab his value, but the main thing is you had the cap space to take him on when the Hawks needed to get off his contract at $45 million this year, $49 million next year, and eventually found a partner in the Wizards to do that with because they had a big expiring deal in McCollum's $30.6 million expiring contract. The Hawks clearly had a one for Corey Kispert, good sharpshooter. He'll be missed here in DC, and I'll talk about Corey a little bit later in the pod. But Washington packages those two guys to get the best player in the trade. The 27-year-old four-time All-Star that had been hurt most of this year. His value is at its lowest. I think it's been since he entered the league in 2018 as the fifth overall pick. But he fits a position of need at point guard for a Wizards team that's sort of ascending and playing their best basketball with the rebuild. And we'll see if Trae Young is a part of this core moving forward. But I'm going to be here to break it all down. I typically do recaps here, post-game pods. I was actually at the game tonight, Wizards Sixers with my dad. That was a lot of fun. Being able to sort of see like Corey and CJ interact with the team, you could sort of tell that something was going on. You also knew when it was reported probably midday today that the Hawks obviously were going to have to take McCollum back in the deal. And Corey Kispert was a guy that they wanted in the deal as well. Those two guys made the money work. And then CJ McCollum this morning is on the Wizards injury report, listed as out for the first time all season. 34 years old, had played in all 35 games, and now he's out with some sort of quad soreness. That was definitely odd. You had Corey Kispert, who was all set to play. The Wizards social team even posted about him in warmups, and then he's out a minute or an hour before the game with some injury management. And at that point, I think most fans knew that he and McCollum were done as Wizards. And coincidentally, Trae Young got traded mid-game. They beat the Pelicans tonight, the Hawks did, but he gets traded mid-game. So definitely that shows the NBA life right there. But more interesting, or importantly, I want to break down the trade. And I know some of you listening are probably like, "Greg, why are the Wizards doing this? Trae Young is 27 years old, and I don't think he fits the timeline. He doesn't fit the mold of players that the Wizards are acquiring in recent years or drafting." Trae Young doesn't have positional versatility. Trae Young is not a two-way player. He's a very bad defender, and he showcased that throughout his career. Trae Young doesn't have the size and the length to be able to switch defensively and to offer you some sort of versatility on the offensive end. I don't know how tall he is, but he can't be that much bigger than 6 foot. Again, very different and unique from the builds that the Wizards had been targeting throughout the rebuild. So yes, that looks weird. But the Wizards need a point guard, and Trae Young fits that very well. And all that being said, I still think that the Wizards did this move. And when I was talking about it earlier, I would have told you if they got draft capital, that would have made sense. Now taking a step back, I think value-wise, it just made sense. And I think as well, you were going to lose CJ McCollum at the end of the season. Will Dawkins didn't draft Corey Kispert, so it's possible he felt that Corey Kispert was not a long-term piece that he was going to keep. So you also get off Corey Kispert's contract, which is 4 years, $52 million on it. But for the Wizards, you get the best player in the deal. He's making a lot of money, right? $45 million this year on the books for a $49 million player option next year. That's a very hefty salary for a guy who's averaging 19-9 this year, but has only played in 10 of the Hawks' games so far, and the Hawks have been playing better without him. It's a lot of money. But there's salary cap, but there's a salary floor in the NBA. And the Wizards are going to have to pay a certain amount anyway. And so it was, you could either consolidate that in another big time contract you were going to have to, hand out or acquire in the offseason when you had 60 plus million leave in McCollum and Middleton expiring contracts. Or you could make this move now, get awesome value for Trae Young, and put him in at point guard alongside your young core at a position of need and see how he fits. Like there's a couple possibilities, and I did a Twitter Spaces so you could listen to that. But a lot of people were asking me questions about it, and I felt bad because I couldn't answer them because the player option is very unique, right? Like Trae Young could easily opt out, sign a lucrative deal with another team, and the Wizards realistically don't get much in return for this trade, right? Trae Young could also ball out with the Wizards and then sign an extension in DC. That's also a possibility, and maybe he rebuilds that value enough to do so. It's still to be seen, right? But there's a couple ways that this can shake out. I think the worst thing is if Trae Young comes to the Wizards, plays a handful of games, rebuilds that value, and then signs elsewhere, and you're sort of sitting back and saying, "Well, why did they make this trade? It's sort of a wash." And even at that point, right? You're still getting off of Corey Kispert's contract if you didn't need him here, and you have even more cap space next year to work with now that you shed that $13 million. So this move to me can't be a net negative, right? It's not like Trae Young coming to DC is, well, the Wizards shelled out all this capital, draft capital, and it didn't work out. Now they have these bloated contracts. It's a wash, and anything, if anything, they're saving money by making this trade. So again, it's very low risk, right? The biggest risk, I guess, is Trae is too good, wins too many games for the Wiz, they don't get their pick this year. Like that's like the biggest concern I think for the team. But apart from that, I don't see too much risk involved in this move. But the upside, right, is astronomical in terms of Trae Young comes in here. He is healthy and he plays a bunch of games, and he plays really, really, really well. He fits really good alongside Sar, which I think will automatically be a good fit in terms of Sar. He's going to thrive next to him. He gets open looks for guys like Bob Carrington and Trey Johnson on the perimeter. Keyshawn George is able to move more off ball to a role that I think better suits him, and he starts to play quite well. Bilal Coulibaly, instead of having to create offensively, can just say, "I'm going to sit in the corner, hopefully make a three, but I'm going to be the best defensive player on the perimeter for you." And now with Trey, all of the Wizards' pieces are able to sort of slot into where I'm sure Will Dawkins believed they should be when he drafted them. You won't have to see Bob Carrington playing too many big-time point guard minutes or even starting. You won't have to see Trae Johnson handling the ball too much. He can just be the great shooter he is. You won't have to see Bilal Coulibaly or Keyshawn George initiating offense. They can be really good defenders and then get their own when it's necessary. And I think that'll be very helpful for the Wizards in the front office to evaluate their young core in those positions. And if anything, I think Trae Young is going to elevate their play. Certainly on the offensive end, a guy that can penetrate, facilitate, is as smart with the ball as he is to find open teammates, and then can score on his own as well. I think that's only going to elevate this team. And it could go south. Like it could be a ball hog, dominant Trae Young, and other guys relegated to the corner, and it's not working. Like that's also possible. I see more upside in Trae coming and playing here than I do downside, right? I don't really see much downside to the move in case they're too good and don't get the pick. So I think Trae Young could elevate their play. And let's say that's the case, right? Maybe the Wizards are talking to Trae's reps because it was reported that Trae Young and his reps wanted to go to a place that they felt he could get a contract extension. ESPN reported in their story, and the Athletic did as well, that while the Hawks clearly want an extension, the Wizards are open to an extension. They don't think that extension talks are going to start anytime soon. And they don't have to, right? They have plenty of time before a Young has to opt in, probably sometime in late June or early July, to that contract. So they have plenty of time to figure it out. They'll see what Young can do if he's healthy and plays for the team. But I think fit-wise, it makes a lot of sense. And let's say Trae Young comes in here as a seamless fit, makes others around him better. The team starts playing really well. The Wizards and him are enjoying the experience, and they're like, you know what? This is a good fit long-term, or at least for the foreseeable future. Instead of opting into that $49 million contract, what if we offered you 2 years, $100 million, and then a player option or a team option for the second year? So you're basically guaranteeing the 26-27 season for Young. And then once the Wizards have to start shelling out contract extensions to Coulibaly and Sar and everyone from the 24 draft class and then want to sign free agents, they aren't all like locked in on Trae Young as that point guard of the future, you know, and maybe Trey wants to move on as well. So I think that's a possibility if you're looking at an extension, but it doesn't have to happen. It doesn't. And if he opts into the player option at $49 million, the Wizards can afford it. They're still going to have $50 million or so in cap space to be able to bring in more contracts like Trae Young's and maybe be paid to do so at the deadline. They still have the cap space to be able to sign a lucrative free agent if that's the path that they want to go. They still have future cap space to extend their young players, their young core, their draft picks. So again, like I struggle to see the real like detrimental downside. And by that, I'm not talking about whether maybe Young isn't as good alongside the young players as you expect, or maybe Young opts out and it's a wash. That's not that bad, right? I think the most astronomical thing is the Wizards don't keep their pick because Young fits too well. And if that's the case, then you're gonna hate me for saying this. I think that's actually a good problem to have. And it's obviously not good to keep to not keep the pick. I will say that. But if they're playing too well and Trae Young's meshing really well with the young core, which I think he will, again, it's hard to be upset about that. So again, that's sort of my like brief analysis about the Trae Young trade. I like it for the Wiz. I would be lying if I said I wasn't a little disappointed that they didn't get any draft capital in return. I'm sure that they wanted it. But if you're the Hawks, like, what were you going to give them? Like a couple seconds? Maybe the Wiz were like, no, I don't want that. And maybe the Wizards were like, we want that Pelicans pick. The Hawks hang up the phone. Well, we want that Cavs pick that you own. They don't want to do it. So maybe the Wizards were like, you know what? We got really good value here for Trae Young. We have a little bit of control. We have the cap space to do this. Let's do this move right now. So that's great. Now let's talk about, you know, the Wizards' perspective in terms of sending out who they sent out. I think it's really good that they kept AJ Johnson. Didn't have a good game against Philly, but saw him some trade rumors to the Hawks. Clearly, they made that deal at the deadline last year with Kuz to get him. I thought it would be a little too early to give up on him. Didn't need to be included in the deal, so I'm sort of glad they kept him. I'd also seen Justin Champagne floated. That would have been devastating. He's awesome. They should not trade him. They should keep him, and I'm glad they did. But they did lose a guy in McCollum who's a really good locker room presence, had a really bad first 10 or so games of the year, but had been one of the better players offensively for this team, had been nails down the stretch of games, won them that game against the Bucks, and sort of won them the game against the Magic. So, you know, really good player, really good vet. From all I heard, awesome person. So it's upsetting for them to be losing a quality veteran, a locker room voice like that. They still have Middleton, right? And Trae Young's a veteran too. But obviously, tough to see CJ go. He wasn't a part of the future. He was going to be gone after game 82 anyway. And so they're able to offload that expiring deal. And what I will say, and I can't believe it took me this long, you gotta give praise to Will Dawkins. You gotta give praise to Michael Winger, Travis Schlenk, who drafted Trae Young as the GM in Atlanta in 2018. I'm sure was a huge driving force in getting this done. You gotta give the front office credit, man, because the foresight it took to pull off a move like this is simply incredible, and I'm going to walk you through it. You probably saw my tweet about it already, but I'll repeat it again. The Wizards started this rebuild after the 2022 season, right? Will Dawkins took over, I believe, in June of 2022, or maybe I think June of 2023, actually. In 2023, yeah. And he had Bradley Beal, he had Kristaps Porzingis, he had Kyle Kuzma. A bunch of guys, and Kuz said he wanted to be there, but not really. But you knew Brad didn't want to be there, and he had the no trade clause. He had the Supermax. Everything was against you in that deal. And you had Porzingis, who you had to trade as well. The KP trade doesn't look as good, and we won't have to talk about that. But you were able to dump Bradley Beal in a contract some thought was never tradable at all for Chris Paul, 6 second-round picks, and 4 first-round pick swaps. You then were able to quickly trade Chris Paul's expiring deal to take on additional 2 more years, or I guess technically at the time, 3 more years of what looks like a really bad Jordan Poole contract. And you got paid to do so in a 2030 protected first round pick plus a second round pick and some other young guys that aren't on the team anymore. You were then able to have the foresight, and this is the move, right, that makes this all possible, is after a year and a half of, or 2 years of Jordan Poole. You were able to trade Jordan Poole to the New Orleans Pelicans for CJ McCollum and Kelly Olynyk, who you later flipped for a pair of seconds to the Spurs and Branham and Wesley. And a lot of people at the time were like, that's such a stupid deal. Why would the Wizards do that? Jordan Poole is younger. He's better than CJ. CJ's making 30 mil. He's 34. Why would the Wizards do that? They did it to create cap space. And a lot of Wizards fans were sort of sitting there saying, well, they have all this cap space. Who are they going to sign? Giannis isn't going to want to come here. No big time free agent's going to want to come to DC. But that's not why they got the cap space. They got it because they wanted to be able to make trades like they did today, where they were able to say, hey, Atlanta, you need someone to bail you out who has the expiring contract in McCollum that we knew we needed to have to make a deal like this happen. And you need someone to have the cap space, and we do for this year and next year to make it happen. So let's make this deal where we clearly get the better player, the best player in the trade, and you guys take on these expiring contract plus Corey Kispert, who's at 13 a year. So the Wizards went from Bradley Beal to Chris Paul to Jordan Poole to CJ McCollum to Trae Young. They added four swaps. They added, I think, eight total second round picks. They added a future first round pick, and they ended up with the best player of those five, who's still 27, a four-time All-Star, and fits perfectly into what you're trying to build in DC. It's flawless, flawless asset management from Will Dawkins. Flawless asset management. To have the foresight, I've said it 30 times, to have the foresight to make that trade in the offseason, to dump Jordan Poole, to get CJ McCollum, to say, we're going to trade this expiring at some point for a really good contract, or a really good player that's on a contract, I guess, that no one wants. And they're able to do that, right, for Trae Young here. So, I mean, really good stuff from Will Dawkins. He's been really good as the Wizards GM and continues to crush it again with what I think is a really good deal value-wise. And I'll say that again. You are completely entitled to not like this trade because you don't like Trae Young. You don't think he fits. You don't like him defensively. You think he hinders the development. For all those reasons, I can't sit here and say you're wrong. What I can tell you is that the Wizards got really good value today. They got really good value out of this deal with really low downside, but really good and high upside. It's a low risk move, high reward move, and in the NBA, you got to sort of try to find some of these gems and for some of these moves. And I think value wise, the Wizards really, made out great with this trade for Trae Young. I think I talked about this a lot on the Spaces. He adds a sort of element of like firepower and star power the Wizards haven't had since Russ, really. Just a player that is well known around the league and sort of has this like villain arc, so maybe adds a little edge to this team. But obviously, some coverage nationally for the Wizards will be pretty cool to see. You won't see the sporadic post if Sar drops 30 plus points or if Bilal has a big time dunk. Like maybe there'll be some coverage, and that's pretty neat for a fan base that I'm sure has been sort of lacking it from the national media in recent years. So excited for Trae Young. Talked a little bit about the McCollum piece, wishing him well in Atlanta. Let's talk about Corey Kispert real quick because I'd seen some packages with just McCollum, Branham, and AJ Johnson, and there are also the packages with Kispert. When I threw that out, I don't want to toot my own horn a little bit or give myself a pat on the back, but I think when this originally started, I did mention that CJ McCollum and Kispert straight up for Trae Young makes sense and financially works. And I had a lot of people that responded to me and said Kispert's beloved within the organization. Greg, I don't really think they're going to move on from him. Fair, right? I think that's probably true. But clearly the Wizards said, you know what? If you're Atlanta, you really want Corey Kispert. We're fine with that to get this, across the board. Appreciate Corey for his time here. I think alongside Gil, Corey was the second, I guess, longest tenured Wizard. He's the last holdover from the Tommy Shepard era in terms of draft picks. So sort of closing the book today, unofficially on the Tommy Shepard era and moving on to the Will Dawkins era with the trade. But Corey Kispert's a great dude. I've interacted with him a couple times, while at Wizards games. Fan base really loved him, was really active in the community. So you always got to look at that when a player who's been here for a while gets traded. So, respect Corey, appreciate him for his time here, wishing him the best during his time with the Hawks. Hopefully he balls out there. He's got 4 year le years left on his deal, so maybe he's going to be a part of what the Hawks are trying to build. But shout out to Corey for that. Tough to lose him. I know Wizards fans did not get along too well with Corey Kispert at times whether it was his defense or when he wasn't defending well, he also wasn't shooting the ball well. But I thought this year he turned a corner, and I thought he had played well when he wasn't injured. And so it's tough to lose him. But obviously, it opens up minutes, right? He had been taking Will Riley's minutes for a good part of his time, and now maybe Will Riley will get some minutes. Dropped 33 in the G League tonight, so that was definitely nice to see. But that's the other part of it as well. Like CJ McCollum had been your starting two guard for the first 35 games of the year before the phantom quad injury was why he was out tonight. Trey Johnson has been starting the last 7 or 8 games. I think it's pretty safe to say that he's your new starting two guard. That's awesome, right? To see he's been playing great at 20 points on efficient shooting. 8 of 13 tonight against the Sixers was awesome. Got to his spots from the mid-range, from three, knocked down some deep balls. Really enjoyed when he got to the cup. And he's now your starting two guard, kind of shifting gears from an old vet to Trey, who I think is ready to play. He'll play alongside Trey Young. Trey and Trey backcourt, they can shoot the ball. That's going to be really fun. But I think that's another fallout from it as well, is Trey Johnson should be the starting two guard. And you're sort of looking at, when you're all healthy, a starting lineup of Trey Young at the one, Trey Johnson alongside him in the backcourt, Bilal Coulibaly at the three to sort of be your defensive stopper, take on the opposing team's best offensive player, great wing defender who can maybe knock down a three. It's a big maybe, but he's your starting three. Keyshawn George, when he gets back from this hip flexor strain, he's your starting power forward. He doesn't have to play point forward anymore. He can sort of, go into probably a role that suits him best, and excited to see that. And then you got your anchor man, Alex Saar, leads the league in blocks per game as a 20-year-old in his second season. He's averaging 16 to 17 points, 8 rebounds, 2.5 blocks. He's your centerpiece. He's your anchor. And that's a great starting five. Trae Young, Trey Johnson, Bilal Coulibaly, Keyshawn George, Alex Saar. You have two awesome, awesome wing defenders. You have one of the best rim protectors in the league, and that's your defense. And then you have two snipers in your backcourt, one of which is a four-time All-Star that can set the table for the best of them. That's really, really exciting. And then the best part is you still have a great guy, group of guys off your bench. Bob Carrington doesn't have to play too much of an on-ball role, can sort of shift back into that sixth man scoring guy, combo guard off the bench. Cam Whitmore, still 21 years old, off your bench when he returns from his injury. You have Will Riley, I believe, at 19, maybe 20 years old. AJ Johnson is 21. That's some really good guys to build around. You still have Justin Champagne, who some guys think he's old. He's 24. You have Jameer Watkins, who's 24. You have Marvin Bagley, who's 26. Like, you have some real pieces on this team that you can sort of move forward with and evaluate and say, hey, we think these are the guys we want to move forward with. And I think Trae Young will sort of allow them to realize that when they're playing alongside a true point guard. So, again, really, really like this move. And maybe, that's not a consensus, it seems, from the Wizards faithful, but I like it. I really do. I think, the Wizards got really good value today. I think the Wizards got better today. And we'll sort of see where they go from here. I do have to address the elephant in the room, which is the pick, right? Top 8 protected still. The Young trade doesn't change the protections on the pick. I saw a lot of people saying the real winner today was the Knicks because now the Wizards aren't going to keep their pick. Look, Trae Young's played in 10 of like 35-ish games for the Hawks this year. Like, he's still not healthy, and it doesn't mean that he has to play too much for the Wizards. I think they're going to be just fine. They're still firmly 2 games into the bottom four. And my friend Sleeper Wizards came on the Spaces and basically broke it down and said, even if they're bottom six or bottom five, like, it's still, combined like a 3 to 6% chance that they wouldn't be inside the top eight to get that pick. So again, I know the bottom four thing is like the guarantee, but still bottom six is fine in my book too, if it means the young guys are developing. So again, I don't want to hold you for too long. I've been talking about Trae Young between the Spaces and the pod for about 2.5 hours, so I'm sort of losing my voice here. But it's sort of a new day, a new era for the Washington Wizards, one dominated by a really smart front office that has used foresight and great cap management, great asset management to turn a disgruntled, distressed asset in Bradley Beal with one of the worst contracts in the league to countless pick swaps, countless second-round picks, and Trae Young, who's still 27, four-time All-Star, 19-9 this year when he's healthy. And if he can remain healthy and he can play alongside these guys, it'll be awesome. And I will say this, Alex Saar has got to be the happiest man in DC tonight because he had been playing his first 2 years realistically without a natural point guard. He'd been playing alongside all these guards that are just there to score the ball and sometimes pass it. And now he's got Trae Young, who's one of the best lob guys in the league. He's one of the best pick and roll players at the guard position in the league. And he's just going to unlock so much for Alex Saar. That's what I'm most excited about. I'm excited for him to find Trey Johnson, Bob Carrington, Bilal Coulibaly, Keyshawn George on the wing and cutting and all that stuff. But I'm excited for the rim rolls for Alex. I'm excited for the pick and rolls, the fades, the pops to the three. That little duo right there, I think, is going to be really fun to watch. So, again, I don't want to talk too much about it. I feel like I'm all Trae Young traded out right now. And I'm sure once I hop on the pod, maybe tomorrow or the next day, I'll have some nuanced thoughts about it. But to sort of summarize, right, the Wizards get Trae Young for CJ McCollum and Corey Kispert. Trae Young's still hurt, so I don't know how much he'll play. It's been reported that there probably won't be a contract extension agreed upon at any time soon, but that the both sides are open to it, and that's nice to see. But Trae Young's a Wizard. It's the best player that they've had since Bradley Beal. It's the biggest player they've had since Russ, and maybe the best point guard that they've had at this peak of their career since John Wall. And that's fun to say about the Wizards. Trae Young's been 11 since high school. Can't do that anymore. The legend Elvin Hayes, 11, retired here in D.C. Maybe Trae Young is 24. I've seen some people throw that out really close with the late Kobe Bryant. Maybe he wears 8, pays Branham for it. I don't know. Apparently, he wore number 2 with Team USA. No way the Wizards should allow that to happen. They're going to retire John's jersey, it seems. So again, that all those dominoes will fall. I'm sort of getting sidetracked here, but that's probably going to wrap it up for this episode. Trae Young, the newest Wizard. We'll see how it all pans out. A lot to be seen. But it's a new day in Wizards basketball, and I really got to commend the front office for having the foresight they had and getting Trae Young. I think for really good value. So that's going to wrap up for this episode. Thanks for listening as always. I should be back tomorrow maybe to do another episode. Maybe bring on a guest. Who knows? But that'll wrap it up. Thanks for listening. Thanks for all the support. Go Wiz.